Good evening and welcome to our Monday Night Live show. It's great to have you with us this evening. We've got a couple of amazing guests we're going to bring on very, very shortly. As always in this one here, we're trying to get it out because to the appropriate channels. So I'm afraid we're not on YouTubes tonight. No. And we're not on Facebooks because they're going to censor us because we're going to talk truth. We're going to talk facts. And that's not really compatible with those platforms. But anyway, if you're on the Twitters, if you're on the Getters and you're on the Rumbles, you're very welcome. And thanks very much for tuning in to see us. Now, before we get to the main event, let's have a word from our sponsors, Quantum Hypno. Play.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jane Smith. Find your path by doing my new Millionaire's Mindset Hypnosis. I help you to break any subconscious thought patterns that are stopping you from obtaining all of your goals. The truth will then come to the forefront of your mind that you are worthy and deserving of achieving everything. You'll start to attract the right people into your life. Opportunities will open up as a result. Financial success is a natural outcome from being clear and focused. Everything will literally fall into place when you do what you love. People are already enjoying mind-blowing success with this incredible session. So what are you waiting for?
Right, Quantum Hypno, do check them out. They support me, so you should support them as best you're able to. So thanks very much for that. Right, okay. I've got a couple of miscreants to bring on stage here because these two people you're about to meet have been very instrumental in me going down a pretty big rabbit hole. And I think a lot of you have probably come down it with me. Some of you haven't, in which case you're going to find the next hour really interesting, hopefully. And that is, I want to bring on, without any further ado, my special guests, David Parker and Dawn Lester. Hi.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
it's great to have you two back. And as we were saying before we came on air, I hold yourselves culpable for wakening me up, basically, and understanding that just about everything I understood about what makes me ill doesn't, which is really quite helpful in actual fact. And of course, that's all encapsulated in a book, your book, which I'm sure we'll be able to bring up on screen here, What Really Makes You Ill. Because for me, that it's a kind of, you can go and buy it here on Amazon if you haven't already bought it. What Really Makes You Ill, Why Everything You Thought and Knew About Diseases is Wrong. Yeah, and it's not half. Not half. You know, I wonder how many people watching this are like me, that back in 2020, we were relatively normie. You know, we weren't as knowledgeable as you guys, and still not actually. But the point is that we kind of believed the medical orthodoxy, you know, these pathogens or disease bacteria, they make you ill and don't worry about it because even if the worst happens, we can give you a vaccine. Back then, I thought like that. Now I absolutely don't, and so many others do. But has it surprised you guys, you know, the fact that there's a lot more people, I think, have woken up over the last 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have, including a number of doctors as well, of course, mm-hmm. which is good. I mean, Dawn and I keep doing what we do. I mean, we haven't stopped researching since 2020. I mean, we released the book Christmas 2019,
Actually, there seemed to have been an internet problem, so I didn't quite catch all the questions. But the, I mean, the good thing is that a lot of people have actually found this information and come to the realization that they've been lied to about what makes them ill. Many people have taken some steps towards that with taking.
Well, I think Dawn's having some interweb problems there. If Dawn can hear me, Dawn, if you've got a mobile phone, turn it off. because that will impact on the quality of your Wi-Fi. Or it could be the Russians, might be them, it might be Putin. We can blame him for most things nowadays, I think, you know. So,
or the Chinese.
Or the Chinese, yeah, that's right, yeah. But don't worry about it, Don. I think if you turn off, if there's any additional Wi-Fi devices on, turn them off, because that just has this unfortunate impact on this means of communication. But anyway, look, Don, there was always a wee delay between you and David there because of your interweb problems. But yeah, you know, so people have started to waken up. Doctors have started to waken up. But then, my goodness, some of the doctors who are pretty awake. I've had a guy on, I'm sure you know him. He's been on with me several times, Dr. David Cartland. And Dave Cartland has been absolutely demonized by the NHS because he wouldn't inject people with the COVID vaccines. And it has been difficult for doctors, I think. I don't want to make too many excuses for them, though. But how do you feel that, you know, are you surprised so many doctors did go along with it?
Yes. We can understand why, of course, because as we were researching the book, we had to look at how doctors were trained. And of course, like anyone else, if you're given all the wrong information during your training, you're going to make mistakes, aren't you? And of course, doctors weren't trained about really what so-called viruses were. They never saw any of the scientific papers, which were supposed to prove that viruses were real pathogenic entities, because those papers don't exist. And in a doctor's training, therefore, they never saw any, and they weren't able to ask questions about that sort of thing.
Yeah, but Don, sort of in 2024, I do think definitely, as David says, some doctors are beginning to come around. I mean, I've encountered some of them. Even if initially they went with the thing, as more information becomes available, they're intelligent enough. It's just they need the information.
Well, it's needing the information, and at the same time, you know, that's their whole career that they've got to completely reassess. Mm-hmm. And that there's so much that's probably riding on the work that they're doing. And, you know, and it's really difficult. I mean, there's an Upton Sinclair quote of something to do with, you know, don't expect somebody to change their mind when their salary depends on it. You know, they're sort of sticking to. So yeah. It's I understand how they feel that it challenges everything they've learned. At the same time, they spent, you know, as David said, a long time learning, and it's very difficult to accept that what they've learned isn't true. So it's tough. It's, you know, so again, suffering the cognitive dissonance, you know, sort of big time. But some of them, many doctors are being open-minded, having a look and trying to work out how they can carry on doing what they started off wanting to do, which is help people, but doing it in a way where it does actually genuinely help people. So they've got to retrain in a way and take this whole germ theory paradigm out of what they're doing and learn about health as opposed to managing disease. I mean, that's a complete shift for them.
Completely agree, David. And I mean, that is the huge paradigm shift that they have to make. It's about moving it, but it must be hard to move away from everything that you were taught during all those years, David. Mm-hmm. And you basically have to reject it. I mean, there's no other way.
It's the same, of course, for virologists, because let's face it, the whole of the medical system is based on virology, that germs of one sort or another make you ill. Yeah. And many virologists have been challenged, not only by what we've written, but also we mentioned the Baileys, Sam Bailey and Mark Bailey, and Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Tom Cowan, and many others doctors who've had to come out of the medical system because it's inconscionable for them to stay in it, because they have to reject everything that they were taught. And we're trying, all of us are trying to show virology to be the very flawed system that it is. It's not based on any scientific evidence at all. It's just a misguided procedure, which is very good for the pharmaceutical companies because they sell their products and their vaccines, but it's not based on anything scientific.
Well, I think that is a fundamental point. I mean, if we could travel back in time to 2020 and we'd be having this conversation, I'd be saying, yeah, but no, hang on a second. You know, these viruses, they clearly exist because that's the vector, one of the vectors of transmission of illness. Back then, I thought that, you know, because I didn't think about it that much at all. Just like I remember doing shows like this back then, talking about vaccines, saying, Initially, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, Don. I put my hand up. Look, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. It's just this particular one that I've got an issue with. And that was 2020. Move forward, read your book, listen to the Baileys and others. I'm now, hang on a second, it's all a fraud, Don. It's an absolute fraud. The whole virology myth and, well, the whole germ theory myth.
Yeah, the whole vaccine industry is built on the germ theory. So when you take away the germ theory, then there's nothing for vaccines to be to rest upon. So that's why it's so important for them to maintain this myth. I mean, that's a polite word. I mean, it's just unproven. Yeah. Any of these so-called particles are the cause of any illness. Now, I mean, it was, I suppose, to some extent easier for us in 2020 because we'd spent absolutely years looking into it and got to the point where we were convinced by all, well, I was going to say the evidence, or should say lack of evidence for the theory. So, you know, we had that kind of confidence to say, no, it just isn't there. However, if somebody had come up with some evidence, we'd just say, okay, well, yes, we hadn't seen it before. It's just that nobody has. And in the past 4 years, many, many people have been looking and they still can't find the evidence. So I'd say, you know, well, it's not even a theory, it's a hypothesis, you know, because there's just nothing that it rests on. But of course, the vaccine industry rests on the germ theory. So that's why it's important. Mm.
Oh, I absolutely agree. But I mean, David, that didn't stop them, did it? Vaccinating half the world. I mean, there's billions of people have taken these toxic COVID jabs.
We have to blame the media for this, that not only the government and the pharmaceutical companies and the WHO, I mean, they're all in league, I'm afraid. And yes, it is a conspiracy. But the media was the culprits in pumping out this fear propaganda day in, day out, week in, week out, all the time. And they're still doing it, of course, now, because they're thinking of something else to come along, even which they call in Disease X. You know, they don't actually know what it is, so we'll call it. I mean, it's farcical. It really is, but dangerous.
Yeah, well, actually, just on that, David, the bit that got me was they mentioned Disease X, but don't worry, they're already working on a vaccination against it. How is that? How can they say that with a straight face? It's completely impossible, even though we know viruses don't exist. But how can you work on a cure for something that you don't know is there? How do you do that?
Exactly. I mean, and we can see that. You don't need to be, you know, a biologist or a doctor or anything to realize that is complete nonsense. You can't make a vaccine for something that, you know, even if you believed in viruses, which we don't, of course, but even if you did, as you rightly say, David, you can't make a vaccine for a virus that you haven't even found yet. I mean, it's just nonsense.
Yeah. Sorry, Dawn, you were going to come in there on that one.
Yes, I mean, basically with what David said, you know, because the manufacture or the production of vaccines is based on having this alleged virus, which they've never isolated anyway, but I won't go around that. But it's the vaccine production is based on having based on the cell culture experiments. So they take this goop that they put in their cell cultures, and that then leads to the vaccine manufacturer. So if they've not even started with those experiments, then but I mean, you alluded to where they're moving towards, which is when you talk about the mRNA vaccines, because they're moving towards what they call based on, you know, genetics and genome sequencing. And again, in order to have the sequence, the genome, you've got to have the thing that you're sequencing, and that doesn't exist. It is interesting that this kind of Disease X thing seems to have appeared, because back in the research, and I can't remember, it was definitely before the book came out, a few years, that there was something about some kind of disease X. So it's been kind of simmering in the background to bring out some very scary something that, you know, well, we don't know what it is. You go, well, if you don't know what it is, why should we be scared? I mean, it's just about fear mongering. It really is.
Yeah, and you both made that point. Fear is their weapon, really, David. That's the weapon that they did deploy, and they could. It wouldn't have worked if the media hadn't been in lockstep, if the political parties hadn't been in lockstep, and you know the commentariat, the popular commentariat. They all rolled in behind. Those of us that were dissidents were pretty much marginalized. You know, I mean, you know, I was taken off Twitter for a couple of years because I dissented and stuff like that, you know. So that's how they did the trick. But what gets me is, you know, the disease, I mean, they tried monkeypox. Monkeypox always amuses me. A, because did no one ever think the name's stupid? Just even the name, it's not going to work. But I can't believe they're still trying to come up with, oh, they found, you see that story? They found in somewhere in the Congo a new deadly variant of this mythical monkeypox, which could, in some conditions that they don't specify, become a pandemic. And experts in the WHO or whatnot are, you know, are thinking, well, this could be the next biggie.
Yeah. And this is why Dawn and I and yourself and others do what we do, because it's a lack of education on the part of the public so that they are not driven into fear by the stuff the media puts out or even the WHO. You know, we try to get it across to the public that don't regard these big authorities like the World Health Organization or even the pharmaceutical companies or even doctors. Don't think that and put your faith in so-called experts. These people are not our friends. And the media, they are not our friends. They're just pumping out stuff to an agenda which is not got the public's best interest at heart. And so it's just this lack of education, and that's why we wrote the book, and that's why we do programs like yours, is to hopefully get to some people. And we know that we are, because people write to us and tell us even things like, you saved my life, or you saved my auntie's life, and that sort of thing. This is great to hear. You know, I mean, you couldn't ask for better than that. And it's just education or miseducation. And that's why we have to keep doing what we do.
Well, I think it's very important, Dawn. And I mean, you know, speaking from my own personal experience, what I found when I read the great depth that you guys went into, the research that you've done, and it takes a while to absorb it all. But once you've absorbed it, it actually gives me confidence, Dawn. I mean, I've never been healthier in the last couple of years. In fact, the last 4 years. I haven't had a day of sickness, really. And one of the reasons for that is because I don't buy into anything, Dawn, that they're telling me. I'm pretty confident if I do the right, and we'll talk about doing the right things, but I'm pretty confident if I do the right things, and I understand what David's just said, and this is where the work that you guys put in comes into its own. There's a confidence, you know, given to people like me, where I can go, well, if you read what these guys are saying, it's pretty, you know, and absorb it, it's pretty comprehensively definitive, Dawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, thank you. The other point is that the use of the word expert, and at the same time, you know, there you get experts on two different sides, and you say, well, okay, if they're disagreeing, then they can't both be right. And so it does take a little while for people to kind of overcome this idea, because they've been so indoctrinated with this information throughout their lives that comes from these bodies of, you know, that we perceive as being authorities. So to really start thinking for ourselves and take back the responsibility for ourselves over our own health is a process. And some people take that process sort of, you know, can overcome that sort of somewhat quicker, and some people it takes a little bit longer. But as you say, it's incredibly empowering. And once you don't live in fear of these things that might get you, you know, you're taking responsibility, it does actually lead to so much greater health, not just in sort of the physical, because health is sort of emotional and our thoughts as well. Wow. So when When we become confident, it then leads to taking more sort of responsible actions, and then that feeds back into feeling more confident, and so the whole thing spirals and just in a good direction. So it spirals upwards to then reinforce the actions we're taking, and we recognize that that actually works in real life, because that's the point. It's not about these theories. What actually works in real life? And when you start taking these practices on, and then you realize, actually, I do feel healthier, you know, yeah. And that's the point. You know, it's what we're actually doing. And we think it's how we feel, you know, recognize that how we feel is important, because most people say, you know, go to the doctor, take a test, and the test says there's supposed to be something wrong with you. And you think, well, I feel fine. How can there be something wrong with me? You know, that's the point, that giving away the power to these tests, when we say actually the tests are meaningless, how do you feel? Well, I feel fine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but the whole testing regime was central to the scam, David, wasn't it? That's why this whole thing, they really put together a comprehensive scam. But we talked at the time of it's a testdemic. And it was a testdemic. And if they had their way, they'd continue with the mad testing, because that gets them all the false negatives to pretend that there's something there, David.
Yeah. Well, they've had several goes at this. I mean, those who are of us that are old enough to remember back into the 80s with the whole HIV AIDS thing.
Yep.
They did it was the same test, the PCR test, and which was even its inventor said, this is not what my process was designed for.
That's right.
Governments and the WHO paid no attention to him, and they're still doing it. They did it all through COVID, and there were people like us and other doctors saying, you know, this is complete nonsense. This is not telling people that they're sick. But that's not, of course, what the authorities wanted. They wanted to be able to do something to people that made them think they'd caught something, so that they could then inject them or give them other pharmaceutical products. And it was a terrible, terrible scam, a terrible lie that has cost lots of people's lives. And the paperwork, even in the UK, with the yellow card system, where doctors have to fill it in when there's been an adverse event from a vaccination or particularly a death, but only about, as we find out, only about 3% of doctors bother to fill them in, because it's quite tortuous and a lot of work and doctors are busy, so they don't do it. But even with the doctors, the 3% that have filled it in, there's probably something like at least 3,000 people just in the UK who've died as a direct result of the COVID vaccine. And there's hundreds of thousands that have had adverse effects where they're maimed or paralyzed or not functioning properly. And yet, the government and the WHO and the doctors still carry on. Now, as I've said to people many times, a few years ago, before COVID, if a drug came on the market and even two or three people died from it, it would be taken off the market. By their own proofs, their own doctors' proofs, thousands of people have died from these COVID jabs, and yet they still keep pushing it. You've got to ask yourself, what on earth is going on? There's criminal activity for sure.
Oh, absolutely agree. And Don, we actually saw one of the worst things I've seen in the last month or so was we saw Rishi Sunak stand up in the House of Commons and say, in response to, I think it was a question from Andrew Bridgen, but anyway, he said that the jabs were, they were 100% safe. I'm not sure if he said they were effective. He said they were safe. But Don, how can he say that? David's just pointed out, and we all know it, and everyone watching knows this. We know about the deaths and the adverse reactions. It's all, the data is there, even though they're trying to hide it. You just wonder, what goes on in their minds, do you think, Don, that they can stand up and say something as egregiously wrong?
It's very difficult to know what's going through somebody else's mind. However, we know how politics works. And I would suggest it's not necessarily Rishi Sunak's own thoughts that are guiding his words. I think there are policies that he is required to follow, which just goes to show that, you know, he's not actually in charge of what's going on. There are other forces behind all of what's happening. And I have to confess, I don't watch the politics on the I don't even have a television, so I just don't watch that. So it's interesting that he's dropped the effective, because I mean that was all part of the propaganda through the media. It was like safe and effective, safe and effective, you know, like Polly Parrott. So to say, for him to still be saying it's safe, that they're safe, is just
a lie.
Beyond egregious. Yes, I mean it just really is
blatant lie.
Provably false. Yes, I mean it's a lie. And so to say that if he's dropped the effective, it should actually be getting people to raise the question. Well, if he's not saying that it's effective anymore, why are we still doing it? But yes, I mean, if it's not the COVID jabs, I mean, there's still all the other shots, and people are still being scared into, you know, taking these other shots just in case. And one of the main points that they were pushing, it, people weren't taking the vaccines for themselves. It's because most people are decent. They were doing it because they thought they were protecting somebody else. Yep. You know, so. Mm. You know, because these old people are vulnerable and they could get it. So we're doing it to protect you, which is, you know, quite decent. At the same time, a complete and utter lie, because one person's health does not affect somebody else.
It's absolutely insane. It superficially seems noble to do it. But I do remember talking to medical people at the time back in 21 about this. And they'd, of course, 100% bought into it. But I remember there was one particular lady I spoke to, and she was a senior nurse, so she was in her 50s, and she had obviously taken the jabs. She had elderly parents in their late 80s, 90s. She was staying away from them to keep them safe. And, you know, I remember, back then I was reasonably awakened, and I thought, but hang on, these are people in the last point of their, you know, towards the end of their lives, let's be honest. And you won't even go to see them, even though they've been jabbed, you've been jabbed. Where's the risk? Why are you doing this? But David, this is where the media brainwashing was just so powerful.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was pure propaganda, nothing scientific about it. And of course, as we know, the British government, I'm sure probably other governments too, had a whole bunch of psychologists working with them to see how to present the information to the public that would get them to do what they wanted, to manipulate them, basically, let's be honest about it. Mm. So it was very cynical and very dangerous what they were doing, to manipulate the public, as you've just said, to make you feel guilty that you could harm someone else, that if you didn't have the jab, you might be responsible for killing someone. And they put this onto children as well. Don't go and hug your granny. You know, you could pass something on and she could die. I mean, this was awful, awful stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've already said, with the government people, they have handlers, if you like, that are, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here.
But you don't have to. You're not on this platform, you don't.
Okay. That tell them what to do. I mean, I think, you know, we all know that all politicians of any colour, shape or size, you know, they're selected, aren't they, by people above them. They're selected to go into office and to do as they're told, you know, whatever that might be. So they take the king's shilling, as they used to say, and then they're bought and paid for, and they just make lots of money whilst they're in office. And they have no compassion about doing what they do, even though they're costing the lives of thousands of people. So it's a disgraceful thing. And we would hope that there is some justice, if not in this world, then the next. Because these people are criminals of the worst kind.
Well, they are criminals of the worst kind. And Dawn, here's a question which you see one of my regulars has asked, and I think I'm sure you'll be able to answer this one. What do you guys think of childhood vaccination?
It is, and they all fall under the same umbrella, that there is no evidence that the germ that is alleged to cause these diseases actually does cause it. So there's absolutely nothing that these vaccines are based on. There is no evidence that any vaccine protects anybody from a disease. And that's because, as the subtitle of our book says, everything you thought you knew about disease is wrong, is because disease, we don't get diseases, we don't catch them.
Yes.
The symptoms that we experience are the body's processes of, you know, natural processes of looking after itself, you know, the body looking after itself. So to stop the symptoms, you're actually stopping the body doing performing its natural processes to repair repair damage and recover health. So you're actually preventing health. So vaccines prevent health instead of prevent disease. So it's completely the opposite way. So I'm afraid what I think of childhood vaccines is that they are totally unnecessary. And sadly, they are also they can also be quite dangerous and detrimental to health.
Yeah, well, David, just on that point, because, you know, when I was young, when I was a youngster, I think I only got a couple of sort of vaccines. That was it, more or less. But now you look at countries like the States, but even here in the UK, and by the time a youngster's got to their teens, they've had loads of these vaccines, you know, especially young ones under five. And I know that because I've got grandkids. And, you know, I mean, they can't wait to shove as many of these vaccines into them as possible, which just cannot be good on any places.
It isn't. I mean, people have to realize that, as we've said, there is no such thing as a safe and effective vaccine, because they're just
any of them.
Toxic material. This is none of them. The only thing they're good at is causing harm. And it's as simple as that. You're injecting poison into someone's body. That's what you're doing. And then the body tries its, as Dawn's just said, tries its best to eliminate that toxic material. And of course, that creates symptoms. So however the person or child has come into contact with a toxic material, either through a medicine or a vaccine or something they've drunk or inhaled, all sorts of different things, ways that people can come into contact with toxic material. The body will then do its best, and it's very good at it, to eliminate that toxic material. But because doctors don't understand the process of elimination that the body goes through, which might be inflammation, it may even be rashes, spots, and that sort of thing, where it's trying to push the toxic material out through the skin. But because doctors don't understand this, they then want to administer something to that child or adult to suppress those symptoms, as Dawn has said, which is, of course, the worst thing you can do. You're just stopping the body doing what it needs to do to heal itself.
Well, I get that. But then, Dawn, you have all this. I mean, we've seen it quite a lot, actually, in the past year. Measles. And the MMR uptake has dropped. It's a disaster for our children. And it's you know, it's like everything you just said, David, I agree with. But Dawn, the point is that they will still push these MMR jabs into as many youngsters as they can get their hands on.
And they'll push as many vaccines as they can. I mean, over the last few years, you know, we've seen lots of these stories about outbreaks, you know, again, inverted commas, because there's no, it's not an outbreak. I mean, sometimes an outbreak is two cases, you know, well, that makes no sense. What they tend to do is they show images, and whether they're new images or not, I don't know. I have, you know, I do look at the BBC website occasionally just to see what they're pushing out so that I can help, you know, help people understand what's going on. So they show an image of a baby's body and it's like covered with spots, as if that's a bad thing. And I'm sure those spots and rashes are very irritating, but they are the body's way of expressing the symptoms to release the toxins. And that's, I mean, the body absorbs substances, but it also excretes. Yeah. So it eliminates through the skin. So these lumps and bumps are just the body kind of opening the pores. Now, it's these kinds of conditions are more common in children because they're still developing, and that's the more common route for toxins to be expelled. Now, if those processes are prevented as the children grow up and get older and become adults, then the processes are deeper. And so that's where more chronic conditions can then develop. So they're adults tend to have tend less to have these kind of skin eruptions. But I mean, it doesn't mean that, you know, we don't. It's just that it's more likely to be in children, and they go, oh, it's all scary, because children feel miserable. They might have a fever, and, you know, they're sort of, you know, not feeling well. And the whole thing is, we want to look after our children, and so we want to do something to stop it. But stopping the symptoms is the wrong thing to do. And there are plenty of to help children feel more comfortable, and when they're more comfortable, they will actually recover more quickly.
Yeah, David.
I was going to say, you mentioned of childhood illnesses, measles in particular, which is a particularly interesting case, because people may remember, well, those in the know will remember, it's not that many years ago when Dr. Stefan Lanker, a virologist, took the measles case to court in Germany. And there were two cases. The mainstream media only report the first case because he lost the case. But that was just a complete farce. The evidence that the medical system put forward was, well, all the literature says that measles is caused by a virus, therefore it must be true. Well, as Dr. Stefan Lanker pointed out, well, that's not scientific evidence. No. So he took it to the Supreme Court in Germany, and where he won the case, because the medical system couldn't prove that a virus caused measles. And he'd offered €100,000 if anyone could prove it, but they couldn't. So, but the interesting thing was, and this was in Germany, that only a year later, the German government mandated that all school children should be vaccinated against measles. So it just shows that the system is completely corrupt, even though even in their own Supreme Court, it had just been proved that measles is not caused by a virus, but then they mandated that children should be vaccinated against this virus.
No, I mean, it's like, I've got to say, I had my little second granddaughter was born just over 3 weeks ago, and she's very obviously 3 weeks old. And I sort of, for the first sort of couple of weeks, her skin was very inflamed. Pretty much everything you said, Dawn, is how I understood it. You know, this is entirely natural. It's just, she's just new into this world. Her body is making all the adjustments. And you know, this is where I think, by having the sort of knowledge that we have, it does make for a more relaxed life, because you're not instantly going, oh my God, what are we going to have to do? You're just going, this is natural. Especially with youngsters, but very, when she's 3 weeks old.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the same way for adults, of course, we'll probably talk about it later about how to stay well, is, you know, you do have to be aware of your environment. You do have to be aware of what you're drinking, eating, what you're exposed to, even what you wash your clothes with. All of these things, because so much has toxic material involved in it in some way. All of these things, of course, is what we discuss at length in the book, and that's why it's nearly 800 pages, so it's quite a tome. But we've tried to put as much information in there so that people can find what does really make them ill, because it's nothing to do with germs.
Exactly. Well, we'll come on to that. I promise we'll come on to that shortly. But just a couple of final quick ones. I mean, one of the things that worries me is the fact that the whole mRNA tech, which they used for the COVID scam, clearly they're lining it up for cancer. They're working on these cancer mRNA jabs. Apparently the technology is so safe. And it seems to me that the whole future for vaccines is going to be worse than what it was, because they're going to use mRNA as the basis for as much of it as they can anyway. How do you both respond to the fact that that is going to be clearly the next wave of the sort of vaccines pushed upon us?
I've got it written here. If we just look at what the official, I won't go into a lot of details, but with mRNA, it says officially, this is the official thing, an mRNA vaccine is a type of vaccine that uses a copy of a molecule called messenger RNA to produce an immune response. Many traditional vaccines put a weakened or inactivated germ or virus into your body to trigger an immune response. However, mRNA vaccines are different. Instead, they teach your cells how to make a small, harmless piece of the virus to trigger an immune response inside our bodies. Now, there's so much wrong with all that, so much wrong with that. I mean, it's just nonsense, but that's the official thing. So I think people, I mean, the short answer is do not let anyone inject anything into your body, whether they say this is the latest wonder drug or whether it's MR, they just have these buzzwords. There is nothing good about having stuff injected into your bloodstream. There just isn't. And the mRNA is nothing different. I mean, they're talking about it teaching your cells how to make a small harmless piece of the virus. They neglect to say they've never been able to prove any virus actually exists. So how can they have something that then teaches your cells to replicate it in some way and cause an immune response?
Also, what they're doing is ramping up the fear of, cancer, because obviously with all these reports of certain very famous people apparently having cancer, so they're now getting everyone even more scared. I mean, the statistics supposedly are heading, sort of one in three or maybe even one in two, sort of like every other person is likely to get cancer in their lives. And again, it's a complete misunderstanding of what this condition that is given the label cancer. And again, there are a lot of problems with the whole testing process and how that even translates to the label that they call cancer. But of course, it's been such a big scary word for such a long time. And of course, we're now seeing, the WHO is saying, the cancer rates are rising. And,
I bet they are. Yeah, I wonder why.
How do they know? Why are they doing? They're supposed to be the World Health Organization. So why aren't they doing something to improve health? But they don't, of course, because the whole model is based on managing disease. So they want everyone to have some kind of condition with a label that then can be treated. And then we're managed, we're controlled, and we're not taking responsibility for our own health. So that's why turning it on its head, taking responsibility, is one of the key ways of being able to extricate ourselves from this tyrannical system that's called health. It's not health. It's nothing to do with health.
No. And David, can I ask, do you think that the mRNA, the COVID jabs, do you think they cause turbo cancers?
Yes. I mean, that's these things called cancer. If a tumor, let's say a tumor starts to build, this is the body's, again, working to get rid of a toxic buildup in the body. Now, if it is unable to eliminate whatever the toxic material is in the normal way through vomiting or diarrhea or sweating or, spots coming up on the skin, it will encapsulate the toxins in what then doctors call a tumor. It's almost like it packages it and puts it to one side until it's in a condition where it can then break that tumor down and eliminate the toxic material. But of course, if you're unfortunate enough to go along because you don't know any better, and you go along to a doctor who doesn't know any better either, and he said, "Oh, you've got a tumor, we must start you on some treatment," that's the slippery slope. Because as we know, if you get into the, as they call it, cut, burn and poison, because that's all that the medical system has, then your chances of coming out of that are not great. Yeah, I'm not saying that no one ever survives it, but it's a case of, can you survive the chemotherapy? Because it's all poisonous. So they're just adding more toxic material into the body. So, I mean, I've lost at least 6 members of my family before I knew what I know now to exactly that, who'd been diagnosed with cancers of one sort or another. They'd gone the full medical way. They'd had all the treatments as prescribed, and it killed them all, every single one of them. So, and that's most people's experience. I mean, but some people survive it, but you're not surviving cancer. You're surviving the treatment. You survive in spite of the treatment, not because of it. So these things, these tumors, which are being called cancers, can be dealt with naturally. And people need to look, if they're diagnosed with a cancer, is to look at their look at their lifestyle. They need to look at everything in their life. What is it that's poisoned their body to cause this tumor? And then to start to make those changes, which can be whatever they eat, drink, environment, is all of these things which we mention in our book.
Yeah.
To look at these things so that the body can then start to clean up and get rid of it. I mean, I did have a relative, which I've mentioned a few times in different interviews, who was diagnosed with a cancer, but she was quite a tough old lady. And she refused to have anything to do with the medical establishment. She said, no, you're not going to mess me about. I'm not having any of that. And after a year or two, her tumor had completely disappeared and she'd had no treatment at all. And they were able to tell her, because she still had checkups, they were able to tell, oh, we're really pleased to say that your cancer is completely gone. And she did absolutely nothing or didn't allow the medical establishment to do anything to her. So these things do disappear if you start to treat your body correctly and stop putting in whatever it was that caused it in the first place.
Well, the other element for cancer is there's also an emotional sort of aspect to that as well. And it's not just the sort of physical things that you need to look at. It's everything. It's your whole life, your whole lifestyle. Because I don't know, it's not something I've talked about until fairly recently, but I am one of those people who actually managed to overcome the medical establishment treatment for cancer, and that's like nearly 30 years ago. So it is possible, and it does require changing quite a lot in your life, including your whole mindset. You know, you really need to look at everything in your whole life. So, as I say, it is possible. And again, part of the problem is having this label in the first place, because so many people are just drop into fear.
It's the word.
Are made to be fearful, and that alone can then instigate a whole sort of barrage of thoughts and ideas, and you're dropping into. The fear. I mean, it is mainly fueled by fear, which works for them.
Of course it is. Yeah. Although, and we're going to move on very quickly into all the good things we can do. But one of my big concerns at the moment has been, and Dawn, you mentioned it. You know, this year we've had two royal personages coming down with cancer. They're both being given chemo. And of course, I vividly remember back in the spring of 2020 when Prince Charles, then he caught COVID, like Boris caught COVID, not huge PR benefits from that. But then they recovered, so everything was okay. And I worry about this because here we have two of the most high profile people in the world. They've both caught cancer at more or less the same time. It's all a bit of a mystery, though, a bit strange. But they're given treatments, chemos, this is the word that they use, chemos, and they don't look like people. Well, certainly King Charles does not look like a guy who's in chemo. What's your thoughts on that, either of you?
Yes, I mean, I'm highly suspicious because I think this is a promotional thing because people like us and many doctors who are coming on board are singing about chemotherapy and how fraudulent the whole thing is and how dangerous the whole thing is. And so they've put up the two royals, shall we say, to, you can bet your life, they'll have successful chemotherapy and all will be fine. And none of them will lose their hair or look terrible like chemo, you know, people who've been heavily on chemotherapy, they go through some terrible things, you know, which is loss of hair and they look dreadful.
Yeah,
I've seen it many times.
Mm-hmm.
But you can bet your life that will not happen to Charles or
Catherine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it'll be a big PR exercise to go, you see, it's wonderful. The NHS is wonderful and there's nothing to fear about chemotherapy because, look, these people have had it and they're fine and we've cured them. All is wonderful. So it's, I think, more a PR exercise than anything. Call me a cynic, but yes, I am.
You're a cynic, but I think you're right. I think I'm a cynic. Dawn, would you? I take it you go along with David in this.
Yes, pretty much. I mean, I'd question, you know, the whole process of what's happening. And also, I love to pick them up on their contradictions, because apparently they've had, and certainly this was the case with Catherine, that she was given a diagnosis, but then she was given preventive chemotherapy. Well, if she's already got a diagnosis, how can she be given preventive? Because it's, you know, it's not preventing anything. Yeah. I think the idea is to suggest it's preventing it getting worse. But I mean, again, something that prevents something is something that stops it happening in the first place. And if she's got the diagnosis, then chemotherapy can't be preventive. So, you know, it's really being aware of the languaging that they're using, and picking them up and saying, no, sorry, you don't make sense. And I think once people start saying, no, this doesn't make sense, they're already open to the idea that they don't have to follow the narrative, which is good.
I think that's what's really one of the big changes is over the past 4 years, as you say, we all now pick on every word that they say. We literally open it up and look into the word salad. I mean, King Charles diagnosed the 6th of February, and then within about 6 weeks, he's saying he just can't wait to get back because he, you know, why has it taken so long? And, you know, a sad thing, I'll tell you, the whole Kate Middleton thing, you know, Princess Catherine, all of that. And, you know, she's still looking reasonably well on it. And I happened to go to my local leisure centre, where there's a gym that I go to on a regular basis. And I was coming out of the leisure centre, and there was a lady just crossing in front of the entrance. And she obviously had been on chemo because she had, you know, obviously the hair loss and all of that. And I just thought to myself, you know, it's bloody obvious if someone is actually getting the chemo. And when I look at these royals, it seems to me like fakery or PR, David, or just setting us up. And it's kind of appalling, you know, that they do this. But anyway, listen, I want to move on, because one of the most important things is that, you know, we can focus on the disease or lack of and the terrible treatments, but it's about health as well. And, you know, we have a World Health Organization that's not interested in health. We have GPs that don't really seem to be very interested in health, but people can be healthy. This is, I think, an a very empowering element within your book as well, talking about the fact that, and again, I speak now from personal experience, I've changed so much about myself. I've removed all the crap from my diet. You know, I've reduced like drinking alcohol and stuff like that. I exercise most days of the week by going to the gym, and I feel so much better from it. I drink lots of water. So what would you guys say are the most important things that anyone listening to this can do to try and make sure that they stay healthy?
Well, we always tell people, Don and I, natural health is just that. It's very natural. It's very easy. Doesn't cost you lots of money. And I would say is, first, stay away from any vaccinations or any pharmaceutical products. There is nothing good about any of them. There's no such thing as a safe and effective vaccine. There just isn't. Mm. And all pharmaceutical products are based on petrochemicals, so they're chemicals. There's nothing, they don't cure anything, and they can certainly make you ill. So stay away from all of those. Eat a good, healthy diet, as much fruit and vegetables as you can, fresh fruit and vegetables, organic as much as you can. Avoid processed foods, of course, because any processed food has got lots of additives, colorants, preservatives, all of that stuff. Stay away from it, and drink clean water. You mentioned about drinking water. Make sure it's filtered, because what comes out of your tap has got chlorine and fluoride in it and all sorts of other trace elements which don't get taken out at the filtration plant. So you do need to take that in and either put yourself in a reverse osmosis system, which is a set of filters, or a distiller. Those are sort of the best two things that we could say, so that at least you know that you're drinking water and the stuff you cook your food in is actually clean, and that there's no pesticides or chemicals or stuff you don't want. Because otherwise you're slowly poisoning yourself with your drinking water. So that's nice and simple, straightforward. And yes, some exercise. You don't need to go crazy. And you'll live a long and healthy life. It's very simple.
of fresh air, getting out in the sunshine. The other element that I think is also part of it is, again, I've sort of mentioned it a couple of times, but taking back responsibility and actually starting to care for yourself and look after yourself rather than relying on other people. So then you're starting to do things for yourself. As I said, it makes you feel better and it makes you want to do more things for yourself. So you're looking after yourself, and that care does actually translate into, the kind of a good energy that then comes through your body. So it's sort of a self-fulfilling, you're kind of the self-care, you're looking after yourself. So you're feeling better about yourself. So you look after yourself more, and then you feel better about yourself even more. And that's really, an aspect of it. It's again, what you're doing. You're kind of, well, I want to, I want to look after myself. I want to do something good. So I'm going to choose, good food. And again, there's lots of different ideas about what components of a good diet, and generally the fresher, the more natural, fresh food, actual food, as opposed to the processed stuff, it is always a good start. And if people just sort of concentrated, the majority, if not all of their food was actually, real food, natural, something that's grown
or local
rather than manufactured.
Don and I have a mutual friend who is always very keen to say, and it's good advice, is to have at least 10 minutes of joy every day. Whatever that method of getting the joy is, in his case, he likes to play his guitar, but you could go for a walk, you can listen to music, read a book, something that gives you joy. And yes, I think that's a good idea, at least 10 minutes of joy every day. Because as Dawn has said, lifting your spirits and having a healthy mind, because the emotions do play a large part
in
your health. Yeah. It cannot be a bad thing, can it?
Guys, I think it's as much psychological as it is physical. I really do. And I think this is the trick that they manipulated against us back in the 2020. So it was be afraid, stay indoors, don't go outside, don't get any sunshine, don't mix with other human beings, although that's our natural instinct. Mm-hmm. You can go to the local McDonald's, but we have to close some other places. In my case, I used to swim every day. I swam for 45 minutes every morning, a little swimming pool. They closed my swimming pool 2 days after lockdown. That was it. And then they demolished it. So, they're so evil. These people are so evil. Like, we could do a whole separate show on that. But I think that so much of what we're talking about is common sense. And then you get stuff like, I'm sure you guys have picked up on this. Have you seen this weight loss jab that they get, this Ozempic or whatever? Have you seen that? And so much publicity for it. Oh, it's great, but maybe it's not that great. And oh, lose weight. And like, you just despair when you see people buying into that, don't you? Yeah. It's so foolish.
Yeah, it is.
So many.
This is why we believe education in its true sense is what we try to do, so that people can see through these lies and propaganda that's been fed to them from all quarters, and start to, as Dawn has said, take care of themselves. It's very easy. It's very easy. Good health is very simple, and just a few basic rules. It's not expensive, and you can, as I said, live a long and healthy life. Don't start taking chemicals or being injected with chemicals in any shape or form.
And Dawn, I'll give you the last word to the lady. What would you like to say to everybody who's watching this or listening to this, in terms of, final tips to make sure that they have a healthy life?
It's, as you said, the sort of psychological emotional aspect, it is really quite key, because that will drive all your other actions and all your other decisions. So if you start from a place of looking after yourself, and we've been taught it's also selfish. Well, it's not, because if you're not in the right condition, if you're not healthy, then you aren't able to look after anybody. And that's just in the very practical sense. But at the same time, if you don't know how to look after yourself as well, then, you know, again, how can you help other people look after themselves? So it really does start with ourselves, really does. And it's not selfish at all. It's self-care. And then you start to become more healthy. People then see you're healthy, and then they will follow your example. Yeah. And I've just seen that sort of animals. Yes, animals provide your. Oh, and something else also is to go outside bare feet on bare earth, you know, grounding. Yeah. Yes, connecting. And just being outside, connecting with nature. Put your phone away, put your laptop away, just walk outside, talk to people, smile. It's amazing if you smile, how many people smile back. Right. You know, go hug a tree. I mean, really go hug a tree. You know, that's not all new agey stuff. I mean, you know, we're connected to all of nature, and when you open yourself up to that, you really start to feel it.
Yeah, I gotta say the whole grounding thing, I have a place very literally at a beach, and one of the things that I'm able to do when the weather's half decent is I go out for a little sort of dabble along the sand into the sea, maybe just for 15 minutes or whatever, and there's an energy, there is a thing, there's a real thing there, a connection, and it's not hippy dippy, it's real. And all those other stuff, Dawn, put your mobile phones away. You almost do have to switch off, because there's so much unhealthiness around. But listen, you'd never mind, David, 10 minutes of joy. You've given us 60 minutes of unbridled joy. Everyone watching this should be absolutely clear. Fundamentally, the old maxim, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Look, guys, you can find much more in terms of information. Here's David and Dawn's website, and you can check out all the many different great interviews they've done with all kinds of various people. Here's the book. I mean, it was one of the best investments I ever made, because it's empowered. It's literally given me a power of just nothing scares me. So Jason says he's just ordered the book. There you go, guys. Another sale coming through.
Thank you.
But seriously, everyone listening, you know, information is power. They try to deny us that information. People, good people like Dawn and David, provide us with it. So listen, guys, if you buy the book and you research stuff for yourself, you know, critical thinkers, we don't take anybody's word, but we do understand information. If you do that, I can assure you that I'm sure you'll find that life actually isn't that bad at all, and we don't have to be scared of anything. David and Dawn, it's been brilliant to see you again. Listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Again, as I say, I think we probably need to have, you know, at least annual top-ups of joy and just clear thinking, so that the endless sort of drib drab of the media, the mainstream media, and all the sort of the fear porn that they put on whatever it is, and the stuff we haven't got to tonight, but like we do have the World Health or the WHO Global Pandemic Accord coming up, and stuff that flows from that. So maybe bring you back to talk about that. Sure. There's things to be concerned about, but ultimately the main thing is, we take control of ourselves. We assume responsibility for ourselves. Yeah. Don't really need anything beyond that. So David and Dawn, many thanks again. Thank you, everybody, for listening this, watching this, wherever you are. And I will be back on Wednesday evening. There's a special show coming out Wednesday evening. So check me out then. In the meantime, from David, Dawn, and myself, it's good night. Good night.
Bye, everyone.